Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, God. Just thank you, God, for just all that you're teaching Andrew and God, all the just the ways you're speaking to this church, Lord, about to how to be your body, God, faithful and just cherishing, God, all that you're teaching us. And so, God, just continue to till our hearts, God, make us fertile, God, make us just look to you and just thank you for the good word, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's continue with 1 Corinthians. Last week, we went over, I think kind of a scenario that's going on about what's happening in 1 Corinthians. Paul's addressing the church and really saying that the church, he called them infants. Said he couldn't even give them solid food, and that coincides with his idea, that he planted and Apollos watered. So there are folks in the church. So Apollos is coming now. Paul's saying he couldn't even give them solid food, right? I mean, he just because they wouldn't be able to take it, and so he spoke of, you know, salvation, of grace. You know, he preached the gospel. People, were coming, coming to life. But there was something about the way that Paul was planting that church. He just felt like he couldn't really, take that idea of following Jesus, right? He wasn't able to share that, and it's just, so he's talking grace, he's talking mercy, people are feeling good about being Christians, and then Paul's like, well, you know what, if I talk to him about following Jesus, I mean, then people might, I don't know, people might like leave or something. That was his fear. And so Paulo comes in, now he's giving them the word. Now it doesn't say whether, because he says Paulo's watered. So it doesn't really say if Paulo's is giving them hard stuff. It's just Paulos is, continuing to give them the word. I'm not sure exactly how much of that was solid food in the way. And we're going to talk about that. What's solid food? And so Paul was doing that. And now, Paul has a single mindset about why he's writing this letter and why he is planting churches all through Asia. Paul has a purpose for that. And he's talking about infants, he's talking about mature, he's talking about watering. And so when we go to, we saw this verse in Colossians 1:27 last week, and it just says that, if you go to the last sentence, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So Paul has a goal here, right? The goal isn't to save people. The goal isn't for you to become like a saved Christian. That's not Paul's purpose for planting churches, because that's not Jesus's purpose, and we're going to look at that. So Paul wants to present people mature in Christ. Like, that's why he's writing these letters. That's why in Corinthians he's talking about infants and he's talking about, solid food. He wants them to be mature, all right? And in Colossians he's doing the same thing. And we saw last week, right, in John, and I think, like, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And so there's only one, there is a kind of glorification of Jesus for the, if the chief end of man is to glorify God, right, then I have to, right, myself be a matured fruit. That's the point here. Right? Even the parable of the vine, right? If my word abides in you, right? Then you will what? Produce fruit, right? So the purpose of your faith, right? So if I ask you, do you have fruit? I mean, I'm serious. I don't know if we actually think about whether we have fruit or not. And we're going to, obviously this is why we're talking about this, right? And so that's how we glorify God. Right? I mean, we can do a lot of things. That's why Jesus says, hey, if you're going to serve me, then you're going to follow me, right? And following Jesus is about, denying yourself, picking up the cross, and then following. And so Peter understands this. And so another is one of his disciples. Paul's writing about it. John's writing like directly quoting Jesus about it, and Peter. So these are like the three big guys writing about the purpose of Christianity, the purpose of our faith. He says, For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. I mean, you know, I think we talked about this. The reason why Jesus suffered and died on the cross is not so you can be saved. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the end goal. Oh, you know, so sometimes we think, oh, was that, you know, when somebody passes away, we think, oh, was that person a Christian? Was that person saved? I mean, that's not illegitimate. That's not. But man, I mean, like, the purpose of him suffering, you can correlate, is so that we would follow him. That's why when he saved us, he didn't take us right away to heaven. If the purpose was salvation, right? If God wanted to save, you, then he would take you up to heaven. That's kind of the point here. If Jesus just wanted to save you and make you, a Christian for heaven, then he would have just, you know, kind of saved you. Okay, you're done. You're up in heaven. Okay, next, right? But he didn't do that. He said, well, so you would follow in his footsteps. I mean, that takes a long time. That takes a while, right? For that to occur, right, to become a follower of Jesus. And Jesus specifically said that he's not interested in those who are once to serve him but not follow him. Remember, we read that last week. So following Jesus, I want you to see the correlation here. Following Jesus is maturing in Jesus, right? So a maturing Christian, the one that produces fruit, is one who follows. Right? And the one who produces fruit, remember, so we saw the seed has to be buried, so you have to die and then rise to this fruit, to this new life. So there is only one way to be a Christian, and the way that, you know, Paul describes it, the way that John describes it, quoting Jesus, and the way that Peter describes, and so the gospel, the fullness of the gospel, right, doesn't end with our salvation. The gospel is not about salvation. The gospel is about the oneness we have with Christ, and it's about following him, right, in that way. And so we get to the listening part now. So verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, so the end of that. So this is the part B. For we are God's fellow workers. So Paul's the one, you know, who did the planting, Apollos watered. So, like, this is their goal, was to present us mature, okay? So their goal is maturity, and our goal is self-maturity. So then we can then go on to help others mature. There's always, like, I want to be mature, and I want to help somebody get mature. Like, that's the goal. Like, that's the goal of the gospel, right? And so it says, you are God's field. And so we're gonna just pause there, right? Because we're going to look at the rest of it next week. But, you know, so it's just talking about, like, because Paul's using, like, farming imagery here. Like, you know, they're planting and watering. And he's saying, as Christians, we are God's field. Like, in other places, Paul talks about how we're like tapestry, right? Where God, the Spirit of God, is writing on us. So there's this imagery. So we're going to take a look at that. And we're going to, actually, Paul's using that imagery because Jesus uses that imagery, right? In a very similar fashion that Paul uses it. So Luke chapter 8, we're going to talk about the parable of the sower a little bit. So Jesus is explaining what the parable of the sower is. There's four fields that the seed is landing on, the seed being the Word of God, right? And Christ himself, actually. But in the way that the Word of God is landing, there's these four fields. And only one of the four, now that's 25%, but I don't think that's the point, but just that when the Word of God goes out, it doesn't take. And I'm be honest with you, okay? And I'm not alone. I don't think preaching is that effective, right? It isn't, right? I mean, you guys listen, I know you guys do, right? Like, and I go away thinking, you know, sometimes, oh, that was pretty good, right? That was pretty good. But I'm pretty positive, okay? All right? couple of days later, you're going to go, what did Henry talk about? You know, it's like, yeah, because a lot of you guys are thinking probably what I do. You know, you guys are thinking about other stuff, right? I will tell you this, and I know it doesn't matter. You can listen to Francis Chan. You can listen to John Piper. You know, like, I'm in good company, right? For those who have listened to all those guys, you go, man, that was a good word. If you say, what are you talking about? I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot I listen to. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. How much of that do you guys say, wow, that was just like, I mean, if you go to home group, I mean, like we do, we talk about it again. You know, hopefully you guys are talking about it. And then I keep repeating it. And I think my purpose isn't, wow, that one thing that I did on Sunday is going to go out there and just gonna kill it. Maybe. One in a million. Okay? But you know and I know that you know that I know. All right? Right? That is not what's happening. All right? And now that's sobering for somebody who stands right here, who wants to make that just a severe impact. But it's just, it's humbling because God, I don't go at my pace. Okay? I go at your pace. And that's just like, so I'm under no illusion here, okay, thinking that this is just hitting out of the ballpark every Sunday. Right, but what I do believe, okay, is that when the Spirit of God is moving and He's planting, there's got to be that watering. That's my point, right? If you say, Henry, what's your strength? My strength isn't I plant that seed and it sprouts overnight into like Jack and the Beanstalk, and you're going to go to heaven now. That's not me. All right, I don't have those magic beans. Right. Just look. There's nothing new that I'm preaching here. Kind of thing. You know, I just pour the water out, right? Hopefully, right? That the Spirit of God, not me, I don't have nothing here for you guys. And I know that, right? Is that over time, so that you don't attribute it to saying, you know what? Man, Henry gives that word and, oh, no, you're like oblivious to you, I hope, right? It's like, you know, I don't even know what Henry talks about, but I think I understand the gospel, you know? And that's pretty good. Like God, you know, God does His thing. You know, I'm not knocking out of the ballpark, but God is just like planting stuff, you know, like, and He's just like watering it. Things are taking a little bit. Like that's glorious. And that's what Paul was, well, that's the point he's like trying to make is, you know, like Apollos watered, but like, these weird things are growing. You ever water your grass? The only thing that grows are weeds, you know? And that's what's happening. Like, you know, Paul is saying, you know, I planted, you know, I didn't want to give that kind of water yet, right? You know, because sometimes you feed people the good word, right? And, you know, so Paul's like, Paul, I think, was a little wiser than Apollos. And that's just what I'm getting a little bit. Because, you know, Paul's like, oh, I don't know. Solid food. I don't think weird things are going to grow. Then Apollos comes, you know, he's like, whoa, you know, hey, here it is, man. You know, like, and all these weird things are growing, you know. And so Paul's like, hey, that's why I didn't water, you know, like that. But the pair of the sower is saying the same thing. So let's just dive in. And the seed is the word of God. So I already mentioned that. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So a word goes out. It doesn't even take. All right? I mean, the Satan just comes in, right? And they're not even Christians. So the first one, they're not even Christians. The second one, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe it for a while, and in time of testing, fall away, right? And so these are like people, you know, like, man, they like love the Christian thing. Man, they'll be crying. They'll be like doing, like, they'll just talk Christianese to you. Like, that's wonderful. And I'm like, I was one of them, believe it or not. You know, it's like, there's just, and then stuff happens, right? And you don't know. You don't say to yourself, you know, if God took, you know, this, took my family, took this, you know, like if Jobish things were to happen to me, God, I'm going to follow you no matter what. I don't know if you guys are there. You know, I don't know if you ask that of yourself, right? Like if things, and I got, you know, think about it. Just worst case it actually, right? Because we're going to talk about that worst case, right? But worst case it and just think about that, Like, if stuff were to happen, would you deny God? Okay, and there are people like that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you think that, but if you took this person away from me, if you took that away, if you took my health or something, I don't know if I'm going to trust you. You know, I don't know if I like, you know. So there's that. And so, and that happens. So that's another group. And I don't know. You just kind of wonder. I don't think they're Christians, right? Because, I mean, that's the picture you're getting. And then there's this other group, the third group. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. This is an odd, I mean, these are people that become Christians, but when stuff happens, like the cares of this, like how am I going to pay for this? I'm going to lose my job. You know, I didn't get the A that I wanted. And the care is just choking them. So day to day, the fruit isn't ripening. So they got this fruit. I mean, they're doing some of the stuff. There is fruit. Don't get me wrong. There's fruit. It says so. It's fruit. But it's kind of like, you know, fruit that, you ever have fruit that's not, you know, green bananas? You know, I bought this very pretty nectarine. I think it was nectarine, right? It was very pretty. It was like, I bought it, you know, it was like nice. It looked like, man, this is going to be awesome. I bit into it. It was just like, man, if you ever bite into like a unripened fruit and you feel like you have to finish it because you bit into it, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I got to eat the whole thing. Oh, my gosh. You know, and it's like, you know, you don't want to eat it, but you got to eat it because, you know, it's like you got to throw it away, you know. And now, I don't know, like when you reach 50, I'm going to throw it away. You know, it's like, you know, when I was younger, it was like, oh, how cool. You know, it's like, no, I don't have much time to live anymore. So I'm going to throw that away. But that's exactly, you know, the picture here is there's fruit, but it's just not sweet. It's not ripe. And it's like, I don't, you know. And so that, there's that group. And that, as for that, in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, bear fruit with patience. So there's just like this field, and it produces fruit. But it says perseverance. Right? So that means the testing comes, but it's like that tree is like, man, it's like rock solid right there. It's still planted. It won't be uprooted. The roots are going deep, right? So that's that picture. So hold that. So now, how do you then distinguish a good field? How do you know that you're a good field? If I ask you, how do you know which soil you are? I mean, don't assume, oh yeah, of course I'm that good field. I mean, just humor me here and just listen to that. And but here's what scripture says is what determines a good field. It says in verse 18, so like a little bit later, I mean, in between there's another parable. It's about light that's hidden, you know, don't hide it. I mean, it's really saying if you're a mature fruit, man, let that aroma go. Let that light shine. It's the same thing. All right? And we're going to talk about what that means at the very end. But it says, take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. So you know what I'm saying? So that means, like, I think it's important that I'm up here on Sunday, spend hours, you know, like doing stuff to get this thing ready, right? For just whatever minuscule amount of goodness that it might have, and then do it again and again and again, and, you know, and then meet with people and say the same things and harp on, but in a different perspective. Why is that important? Because there are those who have ears to hear. It says, take heed how you hear. That means, you know, I've actually, you know, handed him out. You know, sometimes, you know, my wife and I have these discussions and we have these discussions. Man, like, there's almost this like encouragement. Don't say that to people. People get offended. You ever, you know, caution people not to say stuff because they'll like, I don't know, they'll get turned off. I mean, here's the point about what Jesus says. I know when I'm up here, there are two things that happens when I preach. It will harden those, okay, who have not ears to hear. It will. Okay? And many of them will eventually leave. I know that. And it just pains me. It pains me because the stuff I got to say from the Word of God to be faithful, there those people are going to hear that and go, oh, I don't know if I like that. You're saying stuff, and it's kind of disturbing. So let me just kind of tune that down a little bit, all right? I got things to think about anyway, so let me turn him down, all right? But he says, take care then how you hear, because that is what determines what a good soil is. Good ears is good soil. You ever, I think you have a sense of it out here about us. You probably have a sense of, you know what, if I came to Henry, corrected him on like some of his sermon stuff, like, you know, like it's not, like, can it just be better or something like that, that you would kind of have a sense for how I would respond. You probably have some idea. Like, you know, sometimes we use these euphemisms, like, oh, they're sensitive. No, like, you know, sensitive people, yeah, I mean, they're sensitive. But you know that when you say stuff, people, like, are going to get upset. That's why we don't say stuff. And people that have extreme, if you're going to ever say anything to me, it better be, like, incremental, and it better be really, really not. I mean, like, but people, you know, it's like, you know, because you have to hear what people have to say or are not saying. But ask around. Do you think you can say stuff to me and I'm good? You know, like, I actually want it. You know what I mean? Or are you like one of those guys that when you hear correction, I'm not, might not be coming out, but you're going to vilify them. You know what I mean? You're going to, like, think of them as, like, oh, I don't know, they might be my enemy now because you said some stuff. We're talking about getting to the point when you're good soil, you could be hearing that from your enemy. Because sometimes your enemy, man, you know what? Because in warfare, here's the thing. Sometimes the enemy knows more than your friends. Because you know why? Enemy has to do intelligence, intel. They have to go and gather intel. So they know stuff about you, right? And they'll use that against you. So I've had people tell me stuff, right? A lot of it, most of it might be not true. But man, some of that is like, man, that is accurate. When I get in a fight and then Ellen lets me really have it, right? She let me have it because it's true. She'd been holding it in. And nobody says, you know what? That's probably the time to really listen. But who listens in a fight? Guess what? If you're good soil, you will. Right? Not, you know, because you know what most people do? Like, they'll get in an argument. The only thing you'll think about when you leave that argument, you'll kind of think about why I'm still right, the other person's still wrong, and the next day you'll still be upset. Not good ears. You know, when you hear it, you know what? You got in that fight. When you got good ears, whatever they said, you got to go, you know what? Maybe some of that stuff is true, actually. I better think about this. That's good ears. And you know what? If you don't have a theology that says, wow, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Well, then this is going to be all messed up. Because what does it say? This is in your interest now, right? It says, for the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. You know what that means? If you don't have ears to hear, right, you're not going to gain more. If you have good ears, you're going to gain understanding. You're going to get the good stuff. Do you understand? You're going to get the good stuff. But if you don't have ears, right, and you don't hear it, then whatever you got, whatever you think you got, will be taken away from you. That's scary, actually. Like, it behooves us to want to lean in and really listen. Not walk out. And you better take notice and take temperature, okay? When you're in a growth group and people aren't saying harsh stuff to you, it's probably because they don't know you, but most likely it's probably because they think they're probably going to offend you if they say stuff. And if you don't ever confess, Now you're accountable. They got to say stuff to you. You know what I mean? Like, there's a welcoming, right? Man, say stuff to me. Say painful stuff. Because when people say stuff to you, like, no, you know, you get offended. Or when they say, you know, hey, how, you know, when you're doing this and saying that. Because when I walk away, the last, you know, like, it's not natural. But people with good ears, right, go against the natural, right? Say, God, just let me hear that fight that I just had. As you're walking away, don't let the ego start justifying why you're right and the other person's wrong. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you get anything, right, walk away saying, God, man, I don't know. You know, but just, God, help me to filter out, okay? What are some of the stuff that's true? How can I humble myself? Where can I apologize? You know, where can I be corrected, right? Man, may God help you. If nobody's saying anything to you, right? If you don't get into conflicts, if nobody's saying anything to you, man, be careful, like, you know, because you're not going to grow. You're not going to gain understanding. You're not going to really change. You know, you're not welcoming of that. So don't do that. You know, just make the most. If there's one strength in our church, you know, just because we have that's growth group. But if you have growth group, but you're afraid to say stuff to other people because they might get hurt. Look, sometimes that's what it takes. You know what? I fight with my family members all the time. You know, a lot of it is like for this. This isn't easy, folks. Man, there's struggle there. I say things. They hate listening to it. They say things. I hate listening to it. But that's what family does, right? You're going to let a loved one just like go off astray, not bring a word there, right? You got to wrestle through this. That's fertile ground. And Paul says, you're God's field. That's what. And the word of God, you know what? When we're being discouraged, we're in despair, you know, we need encouragement, don't we? We need to know that God's really there. There's a time for encouragement, but man, there's a time for rebuke. There is. If that fruit is going to mature, right? It is going to need, okay, the full, comprehensive word of God. The story of Martha and Mary. What distinguishes Martha and Mary? Okay, in the end. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and what? Listen to his teaching. You know, the reason why Jesus said Mary had the better portion is because Mary just wanted to listen. I mean, really listen. In John, you know, quoting Jesus, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Look, our job here is to find people who wants to listen. Like, if, you know, like if you, like honestly, there are other places you can go, you know, I'm being honest, where you could hear what you want to hear. But if you want to hear the word of God, I hope this is a place for you. I hope that that is your growth group. I hope that is home group for you, okay? But if you want to hear what you want to hear, you know, this is going to be a hard place. You know that. You know that. All right, we're going to talk about mature fruit, the only kind. And as for what fell among the thorns, there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. That is a condition. Stunted growth. You know, when children have stunted growth, like if they break their bones and it's right along the growth plate, that's a serious concern. That's serious. Stunted growth is a serious condition. Okay? And if you have stunted growth and your stuff isn't, if your life doesn't, you know, emit, okay, a ripened aroma, okay, this is for you. It's a serious condition. So let's just make sure that we both agree that it is a serious condition. Because unripened fruit that goes unripened for, you know, did you know that there's some fruits don't ripen when they come off the vine? Right? They don't. If you take that fruit out of the vine, it won't mature. That's exactly the picture here, right? It's somehow it's off of the vine. It's like it's not maturing. That's exactly like Luke 14 when Jesus talks about the salt. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, this is about hearing. All right? It's saying like, I don't know, it's like salt that lost its like saltiness, that's like, it's not even good as dong. Yeah, you know, like dong is better than like unsalty salt. Dong means manure in Korean. So the point here is like, fruit that's not ripened, I want to throw it away. I don't want to eat it. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have, what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I want you to understand something. That's exactly, right? What does the seed have to do? It's got to die. It's got to die before the fruit begins to ripen or to grow and ripen, right? So if you want to say the fruit of the Spirit is love, I want to just talk about love, which is the first one, and the last one is self-control. If you almost want to flip that around, it says before you could have love, you almost have to have what? What is self-control about? Mortifying the flesh. Why do you not have self-control? Because the flesh wants what it wants, and it's out of control. So you ever think if your flesh is out of control, whether it's eating or, you know, or other, you know, just, you know, internet or whatever it is, you're out of control. I can't study, you know, I can't concentrate, right? You're out of control. I can't stop playing games. I can't stop shopping. I can't. Okay, but does it ever dawn on you, wow, I got to start mortifying the flesh. I better start fasting. Well, that's mortifying, going to sleep early when you want to, like, you know, watch more entertainment and feed the flesh. Like, there are things about that, okay? The seed has to die, right? And that's exactly what Paul says in Galatians 5:22. Jesus, right, who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So there is a crucified life that leads. You're saying, how can I love my wife more? I don't think I'm very loving. Well, you got to die more. You know, you got to fast more. You got to deny yourself more. Well, I don't want to do that. I just want to love my wife more. you ever think that? Right? I really want to love my parents more. Well, you got to kind of like mortify your ego, actually, and die to yourself if you're going to do that. Because if you want to love the way Jesus loved, by the way, it's the greatest commandment. Right? So if you want to obey Christ, right, and love one another as just as Jesus loved you, if you're interested in loving your children more, here's the thing. If you want your children to love you more, don't spoil them more. Get them to deny themselves more. Counterintuitive, right? Wow, I have bratty children. You meet those, right? You know, other than my angels, right? I mean, like, you know, that's not true either. But it doesn't dawn on us. You can't be loving when your ego is just out of control. If you don't know how to die to yourself, you're not a very loving person. If you want to be a loving person, but you don't know how to die to yourself, who are you kidding? Like, if you want to study hard, right? Well, you got to deny yourself, right? Honestly. Like, if you're addicted to your phone or you're addicted to entertainment, you can't read books, right? Your mind is, like, fried. You got to, like, you know, you can't read the Bible. I mean, it's hard. These things, the fruit requires a crucified life, right? So you think that you're doing the loving thing, right? And here's the thing. John 12 says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. There's only one way. The fruit of love, the spirit of love, of peace and of joy. Man, if you want to experience godly joy and peace in your marriage, in your family, in the church, you got to die. Man, there's got to be that life. You got to be saying no to a lot of good things, right, for this to happen. And we think, oh, no, we want it all. I'm sorry. That's not biblical, right? Can't have the resurrection life without the crucified life. Sorry. You know what? I was a guy who thought I could. I did, you know? And I just want to let you know it's just not true. Now, I want to talk to you about, okay, one of those tiger moms, right? Now, we all, okay, are you know, we have children. Some of you are getting married. Some of you are going to, you know, want to get married. You know, just get in the mindset, okay? But especially for parents out there and to be parents. All right, this is a tiger mom that's coming to Jesus. The mother of the sons of Zebedee, okay, came up to him, this is Jesus, with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. He said to her, "What do you want?" she said to him. "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left." Wow, that's like, hey, got two boys. Okay, I want one to go to Harvard and the other one to Yale. What do I got to do? All right? Like, you know, like all good Asian moms, right? What do I got to do? Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup?" Now, he's now talking to James and John as well. "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm to drink?" Okay, just pause. Okay, we want good things for our children. Jesus, bless my children. I dedicate them to you so that they'll be great in the kingdom of God. Now, that's a good thing. And Jesus then says, "Do you know what you're asking? Do you know what you're asking? Are they able to drink the cup that I'm at? Do you want them to drink that cup? Seriously. Do you want front row seats, okay, for them to experience what I've experienced, a crucified life? Be careful what you're asking for. Or do you want them to have it all?" And most moms will be like, "Nah, I just want them to have it all." There's only one answer, by the way. Now, as you listen to that, you're probably thinking, "Oh, wow, I don't know. Is Henry correct? Because if he is, there are ramifications to that. If he's not, you know, then, you know, he's talking blasphemy." It says, then you know what? They say to him, so John and James goes, "Yeah, we're able to." And he says, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, the rest of the disciples, like they're nearby, they say, "Oh my God, they're making a run on greatness," right? You know, and they're like upset. It's like, I want to be great, right? So like everybody wants in on the greatness, right? Everybody wants to kind of like be special Christians, right? So Jesus then goes, "Whoa, okay, all right." But Jesus called to them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." You want greatness because there are benefits to greatness in this life, right? There are great benefits to going to Harvard and Yale in this life. There are, okay? There are great benefits, you know, to going to get good education, this and that. There are great benefits. But if you want them to be great in the kingdom of God, okay? Actually, there are counter benefits. Matter of fact, you know, because that's exactly what he's saying, is that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. You know, he's just saying, wow, if you're thinking about that kind of greatness, it's a hindrance. It says, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You got ambitions? God is saying, man, it's good to have ambitions. It's good to have great ambitions. But as you look to your children, right, as you look to your parents and you want them to finish well, and you look to your siblings and you look to, you know, your children and your friends, and if you really care about them, join me in this crucified life. That's the only answer. Anything else, you're kidding yourself. I'm kidding myself, right? I'm kidding myself if I think that there is some kind of goodness that to be had, right? I want the fruit of the Spirit, but not what it takes. Sorry, there's no such thing, right? 2 Corinthians, I'm going to end with this. "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. If we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Do you know that as you, a maturing fruit is an aroma? To some, right, it's the aroma of life. To others, it's the aroma of death. Man, that stench. Wow. But the question to you is, right, what is the aroma that you admit? Seriously. Like just be honest. Let's just, like, if you don't listen to that, let's just be honest. Like, what is it that emits from you? Right? Is there anything that emits, well, I just don't want to stink. Yeah, I'm not like those other people who stink up the joint. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they have, like, rotten fruit smell. Okay? I'm not at least that. Okay? But you're a fruit, right, that doesn't emit a fragrant aroma. There's no sense of maturity there, right, that comes from a crucified life. You know what we're going to end up doing? I promise you're going to end up doing this, right? You're going to probably farm off your children to some Sunday school. You're going to go church shopping, right? The ones with the best youth group pastor. You're going to try to farm that out because you don't emit an aroma yourself. I promise you, you're going to do that. Because you know why? You love your children and you want at least for them to be saved, right? But if that aroma isn't there, there's no compensation. There isn't, right? The cares of this life, man, is just powerful. It'll choke you, right? The other thing is, I don't know if you got ears to hear. Many of you, I don't even know out there. I don't know. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying. I don't know if you care whether you emit an aroma, a stench, you know, neutral fragrance, or, you know, it's like, well, it is what it is. I'm just going to live like that. I'll get old. Man, don't get old. Don't get old. Even now, I'm struggling. I really struggle. Right? Man, I want that, you know, I want that aroma just to rise up and God just go, I smell it, Henry. Right? You know, and you don't take credit for it, right? Because for the very reason Paul says don't take credit for it, because, you know, all he does is plant in Apollo's water, but it's God who gives the growth, right? I mean, what kind of smell do you emit, right? At work, you know? Look, there is a smell that you emit, right? And it comes from a crucified life, the seed that has to die, right? And it is a beautiful thing, and it is fragrant. It's what draws people, because that aroma is the aroma of Christ, and it's what draws people to God, thus proving to be his disciples, right? And thus glorifying. This is, right, what glorifies God. So as we take communion, I just want us to think about that. I want to say, God, I'm eating your flesh. I'm drinking your blood, right? I'm partaking of what your suffering is, that I might follow you, but I don't want to follow you. I want to follow myself and my vision of this life. But don't take communion if you're not interested in following him, right? Seriously. If you take communion, when you take communion, you're saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. That's why, you know what Jesus said to a crowd? He says, if you want to be his disciples, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you want to be my followers, right? And you know what the crowd did? You know what they did? They left him. They left him. And the warning about communion, about, you know, non-belief, people who don't want to follow Jesus, why would you drink the cup of wrath upon yourself, right, if you're not interested in following Jesus? Man, if you want to follow Jesus, though, that bread, that flesh, that wine, that blood is life to you, right? It's the water of life to you. It's the bread of life to you. All right, so let's ponder those things. Let's just commit ourselves. God, just, like, let me have better years. Let me just ask people. You know, honestly, I man, it's having better years is painful. Don't get me wrong. Like people who have sensitive, like you can say, oh, you know, like you ever, you know, I think it was like the Bionic Woman. I don't know if you guys remember Bionic Woman. This is like old school, right? And I remember like the Bionic Man had these like really awesome eyes, right? And he could like have strength. But Bionic Woman had this like awesome ears. Like, and then she can hear stuff like way out there. But I can't, can you imagine though? You could hear everything. Man, in the morning when the birds are chirping, it just drives me crazy, right? To hear birds chirping right at me. To have sensitive ears is painful until you get used to it, right? And then your body, right? And God is saying, you know what? You got to get those ears. I don't like to hear it when you guys have like negative things to say to me about sermons and different things. And I come, you know, you guys are trying to correct me. I'm like, I don't like it. But man, I know deep, I have a theology that says, man, that's good stuff for me. That's food, right? It's not about what you feel. It's like, what do you believe about correction? What do you believe about, you know, the word of God and just laying it, you know, what is your theology on that? So let's just lean forward and say, God, just give me better years. Let me press into the hard stuff. Like, let me eat that, okay? So that, you know, because, man, God forbid people stop talking to you, you know, about this good stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you. We love you, Lord. You know, God, unless your spirit goes and unless you give the growth, God, no amount of water, just no amount of plant, it's just not going to do anything, God. So I just pray you would just go now, give growth. As we take communion, Lord, I just pray that you would just be here. You would lead us to repentance and you would just feed us from the word of life. In Jesus' name, amen.